Well, why don't we turn in our Bibles to Exodus chapter 14, and I'll give you a little something to encourage us tonight. Exodus chapter 14. Normally, I like to read a verse and talk about it, and I could do that here. But I think it's important for us to know the context, so we're going to actually read Exodus chapter 14, beginning with the chapter, verse 1, and we're going to read to verse 15. Now, our text is going to be Exodus chapter 14, verse 15. But we have to read the context to understand what's going on when we get there. So let's begin in Exodus chapter 14, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. So they've already left Egypt, but they haven't made it out into the wilderness yet. They're still traveling in the country, but they've gotten away from Pharaoh. And now they're being instructed where to encamp. Verse 3, For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel that they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. Where they are is a place where if Pharaoh comes behind them, they can't get out. Kind of like the Red Sea in front of them and a mountain range on the other side of them. Verse 4, And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. You read through this hardening of Pharaoh's heart, God's going to accomplish something. And whenever Pharaoh's heart is hard himself, and you'll see that on occasion, the Lord just lets him obstinately oppose what God is doing through Moses with miracles. And in other cases like this, he'll harden his heart, and it's like the man is crazy. They're determined to kill those Jews. And in this case, he hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you to you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Verse 15, And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they, what are the next two words? Go forward. That they go forward. Well, if you were where they are, and you have the Egyptians behind you with horsemen and chariots and an army, and all you are is freed slaves with something to eat and some gold and silver that you borrowed off the neighbors that you had when you left, it's a hopeless situation. And that's why they said, you know what, if you just left this whole thing alone, I know that serving them as servants in Egypt was not a good deal, but at least we would still be living. We're going to die now. And the Lord said, go forward. And it's like, okay, how are we going to do that? Because where we're encamping, we're entangled in the land. There is no way out but to go across that river. And where they had to cross was deep enough that many would drown, you know. So The Lord said to them, go forward. Go forward. Now, what we can glean from this passage for ourselves is, there are going to be times in your life, you may be facing something like this right now, where you have, through divine circumstance and following the Lord the best way you know how, come to a place where it looks like you got no way out. That you've come to a place where my options are limited. You know what? It would have been better if I hadn't got right with God and just kind of lived where I was living, doing what I was doing, than be where I am today. This does not look like a promising situation in front of me at all. These guys were, the Bible says, entangled in the land. Pharaoh and the Egyptians with 600 chariots were right on their tail. And the Red Sea was in front of them. And the possibilities seemed to be heavily in favor of their enemies. So they cried out to Moses, and God responded by saying, you tell those guys, go forward. I'm telling you, there are going to be times. We're getting ready to have a missions conference. There are going to be times when God will deal with you about stirring up your nest and getting you to go forward into a situation. I mean, maybe something as significant as, let's say, becoming a missionary. And you're going to wonder how in the world he's going to be able to pull that off. And the admonition from this text is, don't get stuck where you are. Now, sometimes when people preach what I'm preaching, they're like, man, I heard God call me and I'm going to go. And there's no resource, there's no wisdom behind the decision. It's an emotional reaction and the guy falls flat on his face. We're not talking about something like that. We're talking about real leadership from the Spirit of God, where he's leading you to do something, and you're like, this does not look like it has the prospect for success at all. And you got to go forward despite what the future looks like. To you, it seems impossible, but never to God. Now, I'm reminded, we read Curtis Shimish's letter tonight when Brother Shimish was in Australia, and he gotten saved, and then he grew up in the church, and God called him to pastor. Then he started pastoring. The church that he pastored became the largest independent Baptist church in all of Australia. And he had been making some trips into Asian countries. And if you ever hear his testimony, the first time he ever traveled through an Asian country, he there ain't no way. There are places in the earth, but not this. I'm not going to do this. And eventually God called him, and they had two or three supporting churches. When they left Australia, left that big church and that big work, went there and did not know the language and just went because they knew that's where God wanted them to go. That's not one of those situations where going forward looks like it has prospect for success. And they went. And they went. Everybody said, and you understand, Brother Shimish was already mature in the Lord, so it wasn't one of these spiritual flame-outs. He was already mature in the Lord. He knew how to follow God. He knew that the Lord was leading them there. Everybody said, this doesn't have much prospect for success. And I'm telling you, while we were there in Thailand to listen to story after story after story, where you find that God had been there before they got there, leading them through every step of the way, it would absolutely blow your mind. God had that all arranged from a long time ago. Okay? So the admonition is, when God is leading you and you are trying to calculate the risk, you have to be willing, when you know it's of God, you have to be willing to go forward. You can't get stuck where you are. God will keep your adversaries from stopping you. In other words, you look at the prospects and you're thinking, I'm going to run into some adversity. I'm going to hit some spiritual trials here. You will. But God will keep your adversaries from stopping you. I have several people that I've met over the years who will say to me, who have said to me, back at such and such a time in my life, I was called to preach. And I know it. But I did not go forward with what God called me to do. And so today I'm stuck doing what I'm doing. You don't ever want to get old and look back on the day when God impressed upon your heart that you needed to be doing something for Him, and you decided that the risks were too high and the adversity too tall to continue on with it. You don't want to do that. God will keep your adversary from stopping you. We do have an adversary. We know him. We call him the devil. And he does work to keep people from pursuing God's will in their life. He makes it difficult for you. He makes it scary for you. But your God is bigger than he is. Your God was big enough to put Pharaoh and everybody that chased those Jews into the middle of that Red Sea. God parted that Red Sea. The Jews didn't go across a muddy river bottom. They walked through on dry ground. Pharaoh and his army pursued after them. God knocked the chariot wheels off, made it very difficult for him, released the water, and drowned everybody. Charlton Heston was wrong. Pharaoh didn't survive. God, you don't have to worry about your adversary. He said, yeah, but I'm free. Don't worry about your adversary. Let God worry about him. I'll also say to you that God will miraculously open the way for you. You look at that and you just think, there's just not a way that this makes reasonable, calculable sense. Well, a lot of times it won't, but you have to trust that God will and can miraculously open the way for you. You know, one other thing about our American brand of missions these days that I admire is that churches are open to supporting missionaries. One of the things I don't admire is that until all the boxes are checked, nobody wants to go. But I mean, I'm talking about every aspect, like we got it all covered. It is wonderful to watch God do something that you didn't expect him to do. God will miraculously open the way for you, and he will next provide your need for you. When those Jews got out into the wilderness, they had a little bit of bread for a 3-day journey. They didn't have water enough for the entire time. God miraculously provided them water out of the rock. They did not have enough food. God miraculously provided them with manna every single day they were out there, not only the days up until the time they spied out the land, but the 40 years journey. God provided water. If it wasn't there available like it was in Elam with the wells, then it was available out of the rock. But God always provided. And I look back in the history of our church. When we were renting the metal building, which is on the loading dock side of Home Depot, and bought this land, and then a year later began to build, our landlady said, I know you want to pay as you go, meaning you'll do what you can with the money you have. You'll stop until you get more money and you'll continue. I know you want to do that, but I can't let you do that. The market is good right now for the sale of the building. When you start, you have to go to completion. You have to finish. Well, my recollection is that it was going to cost around $600,000 to build that building. We had $350,000 in the bank, which is a great start, but it's not all the money that was needed. And I didn't believe that it was ethical for us to hire contractors that we weren't sure we could pay. So just to be on the safe side, we went to our bank at Odom, and we arranged with their officer there for an interim construction loan and some financing to carry that loan on for, let's say, a 5-year payout if we had to borrow. He was on the finance committee of a Baptist church, and he said, I know what you want to do. You don't want to borrow money. I'm going to pray, even though I'm praying against the very transaction we're negotiating here, that God will supply the money so that you don't have to borrow any. And I said, well, thank you, because that's exactly what I'm praying. But we have to know that we can pay the people in the event. It's not fair to hire contractors and you're not even sure you can pay them. So we said, okay, we got all that done. We never borrowed a dime. God made all of the provision, and then we had to build this, which was way more expensive than that. God provided everything. You just look at that situation, you think it just doesn't even seem possible. Listen, if you are going forward with the plan that God has for you, then God will make sure to protect you and open the way for you and provide for you along the way. You don't have to have all the boxes checked. What you got to have checked is, this I know is what God wants me to do, and I'm going to trust him to get it done. And God has done that over and over again. He did it here. He's done it with so many people that are on the mission field. And I'll say this also, that you will encounter other adversity. When the Jews got out into the wilderness and they finally did get the water and manna started, the first thing that happened then is they got attacked by Amalek. The Amalekites attacked them. And what they did is they did what lions do. They went after the stragglers to kill them. And God has said over and over in His Bible, that nation I will destroy forever. Okay? For doing that. But you know what God did? God protected them in that. And He will protect you along the way, not only from the adversity you experience to get started, but also all along the way when there are opportunities to take you out of what God wants you to do. And you know something, you've read your Bible, so you know that at this juncture it looked hopeless for them. Then the sea opened, they walked in the wilderness until they got all the adults that had turned away from God about going into the promised land. They all died. Everybody that was 20 years and younger survived, and then they crossed the Jordan River and went into the promised land. What am I saying? Listen, if God tells you to go forward, He will take you all the way to the finish line. Paul said, I finished my course. Jesus Christ, hanging on the cross, said, it is finished. And these men battled at every turn, much more than we will in our pursuit of what God wants us to do. But you cannot stop. You have to go forward. You can't look at an obstacle and say, well, we would, but you know, we're just faced with this. It's just too big a hurdle to cross. No hurdle is too big for God. But if we let something like that stop us, then the problem is we won't go forward with what God wants us to do. Whatever you do, listen, whatever you do, do not stay back in Egypt. There are people God wants to use for something who have a nice job in the world. I had one of those. Got a nice job in the world, got a nice, you know, vehicles, got a nice house. I had all that. And then God said, I want you to go do this. I will say that it was kind of a shock to our system to go from being a president of a bank at a mahogany desk and a leather chair to pouring concrete for $5 an hour. That was kind of rude. Okay? But we're here. God got us through that. And I'll say to you, now having gone a long journey from back in those days, I am so thankful that we didn't stay stuck in the world. I'm just so thankful that we didn't I just can't see it. You know, we're just going to have to stay back here. Listen, I know it feels risky. It does. It even to your friends. You know, I can remember I was at a meeting in San Antonio when the Lord made it clear to leave the bank, and Dr. Upman was the one preaching the meeting. And I said to him at breakfast, I said, God's called me out of the banking business into the ministry. And he looked at me like, I doubt that. And he looked at me like, we need good bankers serving the Lord. Well, when you hear something from somebody that you respect to that degree, you're kind of like, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I didn't read that right. Well, we didn't make a mistake. It was the right thing. And so I'm just saying, you don't get all the attaboys you want and all the cheers and even in your own home, you know, I remember when we packed everything up in the house in Beeville and strapped every box with tears, the tape wouldn't hold, you know. Just did not want to go. And packed up those trucks and we drove into the house that we'd contracted to buy, and we got to Florida, pulled up there at 8 o'clock in the morning, and the seller of the house came out with a long look on his face. I've got bad news. What's the bad news? Well, when we're doing the final cleaning here late last night, somebody actually nicked the little filtered water line and the house has been flooded. So we moved everything into the garage because all the carpets were soaking wet. And then we got a call from the realtor in Beeville, and the guy that had the contract on our house in Beeville backed out. So now that house didn't sell. And that was what we were using to buy this house. So I had to call the seller of the house. I said, I've got bad news. He said, well, the only equity we need really is enough to pay for the swimming pool we bought in the new house. Is there any way we can work it out? And I said, well, being in the banking business, I know about contract for deeds. So we gave him the money for the thing, and we did a contract for deed, and basically I'm paying rent in two places. But here we are. Do you understand those things? You just can't let all that stuff stop you. If you're going to get in this and do something for God, you're going to hit some bumps in the road. But you got to go forward. You can't stop. To get stuck is you never make it to where God is trying to lead you, and you miss out on so much when you do. We got through all of that. And when we sold the house, we did well on the sale of the house, and somebody rented our house in Beeville, and we moved back into that house. And God just has a way of working all that stuff out. Don't worry about that. Let Him, you know what? He's big, and He can take care of a lot of things you can't think through. He can figure that out. What you got to do is you got to listen real carefully to when He says, go forward. And you don't want to look around you and size up the landscape to be sure that going forward seems to you to be the right thing to do. If it's right to Him, it's the right thing to do. And you do it. And you trust God. Like I said, and it's not some off the wall, crazy. We went to school with some guys like that. The more off the wall and crazy it was, the more spiritual they seemed, and the more they wanted everybody to know their crazy idea. They told me about one guy that came back to school. I never met the guy, thank God. And it was like, what have you been doing? He said, oh, I've been serving God, bless God. I'm doing some remarkable things. What are you doing? He said, I'm leading fallen angels to the Lord. Okay. Well, where do you baptize them? I'm baptizing them in the deep. That guy was off his rocker. That was not God. So just because it seems like a great big grandiose plan to you, if it's not of God, it's not going to work. But when God's telling you to go do something, then you're going to have to trust Him to deal with your adversaries, protect you, provide for you, miraculously open the way, and get you to the finish line. And I will tell you this, God will do that, because that's what God does. Amen? Father, thank You tonight for some great instruction from the Word of God. Thank You for a solid example. We see it right there in the nation of Israel. I pray that You will speak to Your people here, Father, that You love, that I love, with truth like this. And, you know, we got a missions conference coming up. Maybe this sermon is timed well because of that. But if you got somebody you're trying to get to go forward, I really do pray, Father, that it'll be the kind of thing where it's so clear, it's unmistakable, and in spite of some obstacles, that they will follow You and do what You say. Because we ask You to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.